Good morning. I was here before, and Ms. Hayes, of course, asked me to speak again. I guess she's going to ask me all the time now. When I was here before, we talked about love and talked about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving people as himself. Today I wanted to just I'll give you a story, but before I give you this quick story. Let's just have a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for just allowing us this time to be here today. God, we worship you, we praise you, we honor you, Lord. Lord, please forgive us for all our sins, God, those that we commit and those that we omit, Lord. And now, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've given us, Lord, strength, health, safety, God. And then, Lord, we just pray right now that your word go forth. That it's receptive, that the people of God are receptive of your word, and that they do your word. Thank you for all you've done. Continue to bless us and watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, last year, I had an issue. I had an issue last year. For some reason, things were not going the way I thought they should be going. Good wife, great wife. Great family, good job. I'm a deacon in my church, sing in a choir. I have a good job as a firefighter, and I work at a school part-time. But still, something was wrong in my life. And I discovered that my prayer life was an issue. So last year, I made it, for me, I made prayer something that I could not do. So all last year, I integrated myself in prayer. And that missing component has led me up to where we are, where I'm at now. I don't have that missing thing because in everything, I am a prayer. When I went to the school, Ms. Hayes may be close, I didn't want to go. Sometimes I didn't feel good at home. Sometimes people got on my nerves that didn't used to get on my nerves. But through prayer, I got better. My perspective changed of how I looked at things because I asked God to change who I was. Not necessarily change who people were, but change who I was. So when Ms. Hayes asked me to speak, and I always ask her, hey, what do you want me to talk about? She's like, the Lord tell you what's on your heart. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit about praying and believing. Praying and believing. And it comes from, a verse of the Lord's Prayer, Luke. Chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. If you have your Bibles, if you have your cell phones. I'm not for sure. Are you able to put that scripture up there? Are you able to do that? That might help some people. It's the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. And also we're going to be talking from Matthew 6 and 6. So let's talk a little bit about prayer. Examples of poor prayer life. For you, for me. This is what I used to do. Maybe you do it, but I'm just going to tell you what I used to do. Prayer, for me, was like a laundry list of what I want God to do for me. Maybe you've been, Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. And that's not what prayer is. For some people, maybe prayer is a checkoff. Maybe As members of a body of Christ, maybe you've been taught that prayer is just something that what Christian people do. They pray. Okay, it's a checkoff. Okay, I prayed today. I'm good. Sometimes, maybe you were like me, you only pray when you're in trouble. That's the only time you ever ask God or sought God is when you were in trouble. And then some examples of a poor prayer life, maybe you just lazy or lacking intensity. And what I mean by that is maybe you didn't personally pray, but you're waiting on a pastor or a preacher or a deacon or your mom or your dad or your grandparents to do the praying for you. Oh, they'll do it for me. So you're lazy. And then I've discovered that some people are just ignorant when it comes to prayer. What I mean by that is they don't know. They've never been taught. They've never been seen. They've never seen great examples of what prayer is. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this, but people really don't believe what they're praying for. You guys probably have seen something like this. There's some times when people pray in the morning, they get up out of their bed. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Get up and go do about their business. And then when is the next time they pray? Right before they go to bed, they get out on their knees. Oh, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. And then they're done. And that's their prayer life. Well, I want to tell you that is not what prayer is. According to the battle plan of prayer, prayer is at heart communication with God. If you are a servant, if you are saved, wouldn't you talk to your Father daily and often? My pastor always uses this example. What child would expect anything from their parent if they never talked to the parent? What child would say, I want something or I need something, but you never had communication with your father or your mother? And what father or mother would give a kid anything, not only if the person didn't even talk to them, but they didn't obey them? God is, if that's in the natural, how do you think God is? So I came to this conclusion for myself that I used those examples of praying when I got up in the morning. And maybe in the course of the day, thank you, God, for what you've done. I know I need to pray more, but, you know, I'm just going through so much. Well, here's a key right there. When you're going through something, who should you be talking to? You should be talking to God. It says, therefore, prayer is essential because it's through prayer that you and I communicate with our Heavenly Father. That's coming from Lord, Teach Me How to Pray in 28 Days from K. Arthur. So for today, it was subjective, just for a short time, just for a little bit of time, because I know I don't have that much. I just had to mention this. We have three services at our church. Me and my wife, we sing on the praise team and in the choir. I am a deacon in my church, and we are always busy. So literally, I got here late because we had just finished singing the song. I had to jump in the car, drive over here, and we got to go sing again, I think at 11:30. So I won't be too long. So hopefully I won't bore you. But I wanted to talk about, because maybe, just maybe, you were like me and you didn't know how to pray. Maybe, just maybe, you were like me, you didn't know when to pray. And then maybe you didn't know what to pray for. And I call your attention to Luke chapter 11, 2 through 4. It's the Lord's Prayer. And now you need to understand that this is not the kind of prayer or the prayer that he expects you to pray all the time. It is a model. It is an example. And it has some components to his example. If you have your Bibles, I believe that's the right verse that I'm looking at. And I have Matthew chapter 6. I apologize. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And they say, teach us how to pray, right? He says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, and I just read all that. It says, and when you pray, this is Matthew chapter 6. I hope I got these verses right. I apologize if I don't. I don't know if I'm saying these right. Yeah, he has it. He says, when you pray. Yeah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, For they love to pray, standing by the synagogues in the street corners and to be seen by others. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I go to a Baptist church. And if you ever been at a Baptist church, people like to talk. And they like to talk long. And they like to preach long. And they like to pray long. They like to be heard, right? He says, do not be like, and I'm not calling them hypocrites. I'm just saying he gives an example. Back in those times, you had Pharisees and Sadducees. And what they would do would be, it's time to pray at this whatever time it is. They would get their stuff out and they would just be, oh, Lord, and every people, oh, yeah, look at them. They're praying. Ooh, ah, yeah. And he's like, that's not how you pray. Don't be like hypocrites. It's not, guess what, when you pray, it is not for other people. You pray for people, but not for the praise of people. Your prayer is only to one person, and it's to God. So he said, don't be standing on the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, this is how you do it. You go into your closet. You go into your room and close the door and pray for your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees you, what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of the many words. Don't be like them, for the Father knows what you need of before you ask. He already knows. Now, check what I said. What did I just say? I said he knows what you need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, what does it say? Let me get it. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should drink, or yet your body and what you should put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body than the raiment? And this is Jesus talking. He's talking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about it. He says, take no thought of what you should eat, drink, and what you should wear, what you should put on. Now, if you go down to verse 33, and I'll just paraphrase some of these verses. He says, don't be worried about what you eat, what you drink, and what you should wear. Because our God, the same God that's your God, the same God that's the God of the world, He's taking care of the birds. He's taking care of the grass. He turns the grass green. He raises the sun from east to west. He puts the right amount of air on the earth. He said, you're worrying about what you should eat, what you should drink, and what you should wear, but I'm God. I got everything in my hand. So why are you worrying about that? But then he goes down to verse 33, and it's a key verse. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. The things he's talking about is the same thing I just talked about, your needs. What you should drink, what you should eat, what you should drink, and what you should wear. He already knows what you have need of even before you ask him. So you don't need to be asking for your needs, because he's going to supply all those needs. He already knows. Now, you may say, Lord, help me with this or help me with that. But he knows what you have need of before you ask him. Not only should you follow the Lord's model of prayer and have an attitude and a secret, but there are four different types of prayers that I've studied. When you pray, most of us go right into asking God for something. Most of us. Lord, help me. I need this. Lord, I need a job. Lord, my kid's acting up. Lord, my money ain't right. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Have you taken the time out just to give God praise? Give God glory. It's called adoration. Four things that you should be praying when you pray. There are four different types of prayer. Adoration, give God glory. Confession, As you heard me pray, I give God glory. I give you praise. I give you honor. Then there's some confession. This helps you in the right state of mind. Reminds God that you agree with Him that you ain't got it all together. It reminds God that you ain't right, that you need His help. Lord, forgive me for whatever that is. That's why you don't need to come up to the front of the church and be confessing all what you didn't did last night. Young folk, grown folk, you don't need to be telling everybody what you did. That's between you and God. Really, your sin is not against another person, it's against Him. So you need to be confessing your sins. And then there's thanksgiving. We do this pretty good. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for the type of job I've had. Thank you for my children. Thank you for healing my body. But then notice that supplication is last. And supplication means to start asking God for those things. And then and most times when we ask for God, I heard the sister ask, does anybody need prayer? And it was specific. I need prayer for a new house. I need prayer for my child. I need prayer for a friend. I need prayer for my family. That's when it's specific. But in general, help us with health. Help them with safety, Lord. Help us to learn how to tell people about Jesus in general. Simplify, you want to thank God, you want to pray for others, and then you want to pray for yourself. Now, some people think, well, I don't need to be praying with all those people. But James says the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The reason why we come to church, the reason why we pray together is to help other folks. That's why we pray together. At our church right now, we want to build a new church. We have this vision of building a new church. We need more room. I mentioned we had three services. I'm getting tired of singing three services. I like to sing one service. I'm sure my pastor is tired of preaching three services. He wants to preach one service. So we want to have a facility that's big enough to have everybody in all at once. We as a church are praying for that vision as a church. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Not only should you be praying corporately and personally, but persistently. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, hope I got it. It says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. It's a persistent in it. You talked about your home. You got to be persistent in that prayer. You talked about a friend. You got to be persistent in that prayer. You can't just pray one time and think it's going to happen. God wants to see, are you faithful in believing what you believe? Are you serious about what you want? You got to pray all the time. And we're going to get to when to pray. And then not only does He want you to ask and seek. This is important because I kind of figured this out. He wants you to pray within His will. 1 John chapter 5, 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears you. Now, check this out. God already has a plan for each one of your lives. He already knows what you need and what you have. And He says that if you ask anything according to His will, He already hears it. He already knows it because He has that plan for you. It's in His will. And He says, and here's the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears you. Not only does He hear you, and if we know that He hears us, this is where it is. This is the key. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the desires, what you're asking for that we desire of Him. So really what it's saying is, if you ask or pray within God's will, He's going to give that to you. Now, let me give you an example. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible, right? If I would pray that prayer, right? If I would pray that prayer, do you think God is going to be like, nah, I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. That's within his will. If I'm a husband, he wants me to love my wife as Christ loved the church, right? Children, obey your parents. Is that in the Bible? That's a prayer, right? Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long. That's a prayer. That's within his will. He wants that for children. He wants that. Now, this is gonna be bad. This is gonna be good. Don't y'all get mad at me, women. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Tanya, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's in the Bible, right? Now, that is not for me to be praying for my wife to be submitting to me, which is just to be remained up under. That's all it means. That I'm the head, that she just remains up under. She girds me up. She holds me up. That's all that means, to be up under. That's not for me to pray. My responsibility is to pray for me to be a husband that loves his wife. Her responsibility is to pray to be submissive unto her own husband. Why you say that? Why you say that? Because God said it for a reason. Because husbands don't want to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and wives don't want to submit to their husbands. That's why it's in the Bible. So that's why children don't want to obey their parents. That's why it's in there. So you want to pray within his will. Not only do you want to pray within his will, is Jesus, you want to pray within Jesus' name. It is not your family name that you're praying in. It's not in grandmama's name. It is not in your best friend's name. It's not in your name. It's in Jesus' name. He's done all the work. It is not a salutation or sin button. You don't say all the prayer and then go, in Jesus' name, sin. That is not what in Jesus' name means. It assigns worship and the need for Jesus. John 14, 13 through 14. I hope I got that. It says, and whatsoever you should ask in my name, that would I do, that the Father may be glorified. If you shall ask anything in my name, check this out. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's what the Bible says. So you want to ask within Jesus' name. Now, I mentioned this, and I'm almost done. I mentioned this. Kids, mama told you to do something. You didn't do it. Do you think she gonna give you something just because you didn't do it? That's in the natural, right? Dad has told you to clean your room up. I don't know why you as a child expect you to have gain privileges when you didn't clean your room. That's in the natural. Wouldn't it make sense that for people of God, that if you don't do what God tells you to do, that he can't really work with you. He can't help you out, because God is a God of faith. God is a God of obedience. So you're praying and asking God for certain things in your life, but if you ain't living right, if you ain't doing right, and I mentioned before, if you haven't confessed what you're doing, that creates a divide between you and God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your sins, check what he's faithful and he's just to forgive you of your sins. Now, this is my favorite part. Not only is he forgiving you of your sins, but he's going to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So what I've learned from that is, yeah, you got this thing that you're working with that you just can't seem to. You got this cussing tongue. You got these weary eyes that's looking at the wrong thing. You confess that to God and you believe that God can heal you from that. He's going to forgive you for you. Guess what he's also going to do? He's going to cleanse you from that. That means he's going to take that desire out of you. But you got to pray for it. You got to pray for it. So you have to be obedient. And then there's a humbleness when you pray. I hate to use all these scriptures, but I have to. You may have heard it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, that's y'all his people, if you're saved, you're the people, will humble themselves and pray. So notice he puts humble before pray. You got to come to a certain position when you pray. That's why we bow our heads. That's why we get on our knees. That's why we clear our mind before we pray. Humble yourselves before you pray. Seek his face. You say seek his face. That means go after God. And then he says something that's important. He says, turn from your wicked ways. Now notice the progression. You got to humble yourself. You got to come to the, okay, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need to pray. You get yourself ready. You're humbling yourself. Then he wants you to pray. That means you're having a conversation with God. You're talking to God. And then he says, seek after him. That means reading his word, studying after him, doing what he's telling. And then he says, turn from your wicked ways. There's something in your life, and I mentioned this before, that you cannot have. There's a broken relationship with you and God if you are doing something that he does not want you to do, or doing something that he's called you to do and you're not doing it. And he says, turn from your wicked ways. He was talking to the Israelites, but I always call church folks Israelites. Because we're saved, but we always do stuff that we shouldn't be doing. Turn from your wicked ways. Then he says, then I will hear from you. I will hear you from heaven. I will forgive you of your sins. And I will heal the land. Not only will he listen to you when you do all those things, he will forgive you, which is what we need, forgiveness. But then he'll heal you. So you got to humble yourself, pray, seek his face, turn from your wicked ways. Now, when do you pray? You say, and this is easy. When do you pray? It's very simple. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray always. Now, people think, and I mentioned this before, I did talk about just going to a closet and praying and getting the secret and praying and have yourself right. But literally, especially just for teenagers, right before you take a test, you can be praying. For parents, right before you talk to your kid about whatever you got to talk to, you should maybe get a prayer together, because he's going to give you the right words to say. Before you step into the door of wherever you work at and you know that person keeps getting on your nerves, you probably should have a little talk with Jesus. And when you mess up, when you mess it up, when you do wrong, you should definitely be praying, talking to God. Now you say, well, I did my talking. How does God talk back to us? He talks through his word. And I mentioned that before, that the only way God talks to you, he talks to his word. So you got to know his word. That's why I'm saying all these verses. And then lastly, he says, what do you pray for? And I mentioned some of these. His will be done. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. To be forgiven, to be forgiven and to be forgiving others. For help. For strength, for deliverance, for wisdom. And then the last component, and this is something new for me. I did all this praying, right? Last year I was praying, oh yes, oh hallelujah, I'm on my knees, oh I'm praying every day, oh. I didn't believe. I'm praying all this stuff. I'm praying for my wife's business. I'm praying for my daughter and my son-in-law when they were going through their stuff. I'm praying for my son. I'm not really believing that God can do it. You know why I say I wasn't believing? Because I kept putting my hands in stuff. I said I trust God, but here I am. Oh, let me see. What can I do? What can I do? God didn't tell me to do that. That's what I've said. What can I do? When you pray and you're giving it to God,
You gotta believe.
And I'll use this last verse. It's the story. It's the story in Mark. And the reason why this is so special is because our church right now, the slogan says, "Do you believe?" And it's mostly talking about, as a Christian, do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you trust God? Belief is trust, full confidence. Do you really believe? But when in this regards to prayer, the story goes that there's some disciples, this guy, this kid, he's foaming at the mouth. He's sick, and the disciples can't do anything, right? The man says, the father says, "Jesus, can you help my son?" And Jesus says, "Well, how long has he been? He's been doing this since he was a kid. He's still doing it. There's nothing that we can do. I don't know what to do." And Jesus says, "I can do all things if you believe." And the man says, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." And that's the prayer that I want you guys to be thinking about, that there are some things in your life that you may be praying for, situations that you may be praying for, things that you're going through that you may be praying for. You've been praying for almost 10 years. You've been praying for over the year, and it still hasn't happened. And the question is, do you believe? Do you really believe what you're praying for? In regards to prayer, James chapter 1, verse 5 says, I hope I got it. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that is given to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that a man think he should be received anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If you believe. James chapter 4, and I'll finish with this verse 1 through 4 says, "From whence come in wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and you have not, because you ask not." And then when you ask, this is one of my favorite verses, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." And amiss means you ask wrongly, "that you may consume it upon your lust." And then he says, "You adulterers and adulteress, know you that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whoever so therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." A lot of things in this church, a lot of things in your personal relationships, a lot of things in your personal life can be solved if you just pray and believe. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share about prayer. And Lord, you called my attention to a second piece of that we pray, but how to pray and when to pray and what to pray for, but God, also to when we pray, to believe in what we pray for. Lord, you have everything in your hands. You know everything that we already are asking for before we ask it, God. I pray for this church and for the people. I pray for those families with the son that's in school, Lord, and the family that's looking for a home, and the young woman that we had talked, that this couple has talked about, and then for the Hayes family, Lord, for Michael and his mother's health, and for the brothers, God. I just pray right now, Lord, for this church. I pray for these people, Lord. Lord, you have all of it in your hands. You know everything. You're omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent. And, Lord, you're holy and righteous, and we just thank you for all that you've done. Continue to bless us and watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.